grace and a good season of prayer, and thank you for joining.
If you would take your Bible and open it with me to Luke chapter number 16.
Luke chapter number 16. I want to follow up on last Wednesday's message, and in doing so, I want to answer some questions about an unpleasant subject for many. Luke chapter number 16, very familiar passage of Scripture. And we're going to take the time as we stand to our feet and read the entire account, verses 19 down through verse 31. So once you find your place in Luke 16, if you would stand. And tonight I want to do this study with you, and I hope you'll be patient with me. And just follow along in your Bible so that you can find out some answers to questions about death. Death is something that men are fearful of. Death holds many in bondage. So many have questions about death. Why do people die? What happens when people die? Where are the dead? Will the dead ever know that they're dead? I mean, I've heard all kinds of questions. Will we know each other in the afterlife? And I can tell you, brethren, just this one passage of Scripture alone will answer a lot of those questions. Now, maybe not in the fashion, we don't know all that there is to know about the afterlife. I know this. I know that when you leave this life, you're going to be more alive than you are right now. And if you're saved, you're going to heaven. And if you're lost, you're going to hell. But now, what does the Scripture say about those things? How are we to approach these matters? Well, let's see what the Bible says, okay? In Luke chapter number 16, Jesus begins to give us an account of a real man who was a rich man and a real man who was a beggar. Both of these men, as we study this passage, we find them in life, we find them in death, and we find them in eternity. And so we'll take just a brief look at some things about death. I want to answer some questions about death. Luke 16, let's begin our reading in verse number 19. There was a certain rich man, and this is Jesus speaking. This is not a parable. This is a real account that Jesus has given about life, death, and eternity. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, that's their life. That's just a brief snapshot of their life. Now what? Death. Verse 22 says, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. That's their death. So we have a brief snapshot of their life. We have a brief snapshot of their death. And now we enter into eternity. Verse number 23. And in hell, that's eternity. In hell, the rich man lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now here's two men's abode in the afterlife. All right? And the rich man cried in verse number 24 and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou wert tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray you would open our understanding to your word. I pray you'd help me to be clear about the subject matter that you've laid upon my heart. I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I would be a Spirit-filled speaker, and fill each one that is here tonight with the Holy Spirit, that they each one might be Spirit-filled hearers. And I pray that as we hear your word, that it will lodge in our hearts and bring forth fruit that shall remain. And as a result of it, I pray that the name of Jesus would be magnified, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. All right. I want to talk to you about death. The first question is a very simple question. Why do people die? Why do people die? The Bible tells us why people die. People die because of sin. Remember in the beginning when God placed Adam in the garden, he said, listen, Adam, and I'm paraphrasing, he said in chapter 2 of Genesis in verse 16 and 17, he said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat thereof, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat thereof, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You're going to die when you do what God said not to do. When you sin, when you break God's commandment, when you transgress God's law, the penalty is death. The Bible says in Romans, and I want you to write these verses down. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 15. So when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so the reason people die is because they sin. You say, no, wait a minute. You know, Adam's sinning. God said he was going to die. Yeah, but see, you've sinned. You've sinned. And the reason you sin is because you were born of Adam. Adam's sin has affected you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that was Adam, and watch it now, and death by sin. The reason death came into the world is because sin came. Sin brought death. And so death hath passed upon all men. Did you get that? There's not a one of us that has done good and sinned not. Ecclesiastes 7:20. We've all like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And so the Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Why? Why are all men going to die? For that all have sinned. All right? So why do we die? We die because we sin. Now this raises a very interesting question. Jesus died. And people have asked, well, now, did he ever sin? Because, you know, Jesus was 50% God and 50% man. Well, there's wrong. Jesus was not 50% God and 50% man. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, and Jesus never sinned. But you say, but now Jesus died. That's where the good part comes in. Jesus did not die for his sin. Jesus died for your sin and for my sin and for the sin of the whole world. See, that's the only way that sin could be put away. That's the only way sin could be pardoned and sin could be forgiven. And so when Jesus died, he didn't die for his sin. He died for our sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, teaches that Jesus Christ died for our sin. And not for our sin only, but for the sin of the whole world. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible teaches that God hath placed on him, for he who knew no sin became sin, right? That we, through his righteousness, might be made whole. You know, and I'm paraphrasing these verses, but you look them up, okay? You look them up. They're almost right on it. I want you to read the Bible and know why you're going to die. You're going to die because you've sinned. Now, question number two that I wrote down here. Through the years, and I've been in ministry for about 36 years, through the years I've had people ask me this, what happens when we die? You know, I've wanted to know that too. What happens when a person dies? Well, I want to tell you what the Bible says happens. James chapter 2 in verse number 26. The Bible says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith, right, without works is dead. So when you die, the spirit leaves the body. That's death. You say, well, now, his heart quit beating. He died. Well, now, wait a minute. Hold it. That's not what the Bible says. You can live for a period of time after your heart quits beating. The Bible says when the spirit leaves the body, that's when you die. Is that right? James 2, write it down. James 2, verse number 26. I hope you'll write that verse down. Now, in Luke 16, let's see what happens here. Let's see what the Bible says about what happens when you die. Look, if you would, we have these men, this rich man. We have Lazarus. And the scripture says in verse number 22, it came to pass that the beggar what? Died. He died. What happened to him? Well, let's see. The Bible says the rich man died in verse number 22, or the beggar, I'm sorry, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. You know what? I thank God for that escort, don't you? I think we're going to get a personal escort into heaven, you and I who were saved. Get a personal escort for security and for safety. The angels of God transported him into Abraham's bosom. You say, well, Abraham's bosom, what is that? We're going to talk about that just a little bit, but I want you to follow on. The rich man also died and was buried. Well, now you can get buried when you die. Now you don't have to. The burial was for the body. Amen. The body of the Lazarus didn't go into Abraham's bosom. Nor did the body of the rich man go to hell. Look what the scripture says in verse number 23. The latter part of verse number 22. And the rich man also died and was buried. What was buried? His body. Look at the next phrase in verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now some people take this and say, well, the grave is hell. He was buried, and when he was buried, then he was in hell. Well, that's just false teaching. The Bible nowhere teaches that. The word that is used here is Hades. It's the same word as Sheol, and we talked about this last week. Sheol in the Old Testament is a place for the disembodied spirits that leave this world. The Greek equivalent to that is Hades, and it's translated here as hell. And so in hell, when this man died, his body was buried in the ground where it will see corruption. And I want you to remember that, okay? When your body ceases to live, it will see corruption. Because Paul said in the resurrection, the corruptible must put on incorruption. All right? And so here the scripture says in verse number 22, it says, the rich man also died and was buried. Well, I think the reason there's a mention of burial here, I can't prove this. He had means. I tell you, it's getting to where you have to be rich to get buried these days. Amen. You can say amen right there. I mean, it costs all kinds of money to get buried. But the scripture says that the rich man, when he died, he was buried. But it says in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So what happens when a person dies? Well, according to this, when people die, their bodies go back to a time of corruption or to dust. From dust you came, from dust you'll return. But their disembodied spirit, their soul, the soul of man, goes to a compartment. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky, but I want you to stick with me. Before Jesus died on the cross, this compartment is discussed right here. On one side, you had Abraham's bosom. That was for the believing saints. On the other side, you had hell. That was for the unbelieving saints. Now, please don't take that to mean, well, one side was for the rich and one side was for the poor. You don't go to heaven for being poor, and you don't go to hell for being rich. You go to heaven by believing God's word. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And you go to hell for denying, for not accepting God's way. And the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Listen, he's not one of many ways. And I want you to really get this down. We're living in a day where they're putting pressure on preachers to say, well, you know, you can't say that everybody that doesn't believe in Jesus is not going to heaven. I not only can say it, I will say it. If you do not accept Jesus Christ, you will not go to heaven. The only way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad God made a way? Instead of people arguing and fighting and fussing and debating over what way or this way or that way, just be glad God provided a way. Receive his dear plan of salvation. Accept his grace. Exercise the gift of faith and trust Christ as your Savior. But we are stubborn people and we want to do it our way. But God said, no, this is my way. This is on my terms. We have gotten to the place to where we believe that, you know what? We're going to bargain with God. Brother, you don't bargain with God. God says, you're going to do it this way or you're going to miss out. Now, I'm glad God gave a way, aren't you? And I rejoice in this. And so, number one, why do we die? Sin. Number two, what happens when we die? Well, we go, and I want you to listen carefully to me. We go into a holding cell. This is not purgatory. This is not soul sleep. This is not a place of unconsciousness. You can read this account. You read it with me tonight. These men were very conscious. Very conscious. They were having conversation. They were very conscious of where they were. Do the dead know they're dead? Yes. Yes, the dead know they're dead. I've had people ask me, well, do the dead know they're dead? Sure, they know they're dead. Do you know you're alive? Two people do. Amen. It's been a long day, preacher. Amen. I don't know if I'm alive or not. Paul did say whether in the body or not, I cannot tell. You know, and we're going to get to that too, okay? But I want you to hear me now. Listen to me. If you know you're alive, you believe me when I tell you, when you're dead, you're going to be dead but alive. And so you're going to know you're alive. You know you're alive on this side of death, and you'll know you're going to be alive on that side of death. Death is just a separator of the body and the soul. And then we go into the afterlife. These men were aware. And so that brings me to my third question. Where are the dead? Where are the dead, preacher? Where are they? Well, I want to go original here, and then we're going to come to up to date. Originally, which was before Calvary, the blood of goats and bulls could not take away sin. And we're going to turn to Hebrews 10 in just a moment. And so that sin was atoned. It was covered. But when Jesus came, he didn't cover sin. He took it away. He washes it away. And so almost like a promissory note, God said, until the blood of my son is applied, I'm going to allow you into this compartment waiting for the day. And that's what the Old Testament saints did. Listen to me. They, by faith, looked toward what Jesus was going to do. And because their faith was in what Jesus was going to do, then that was their belief that gained them access into this place called Sheol or paradise. When you look on this side, we're on this side of the cross. We're on the grace side, okay? We're on the resurrection side. We look back not at as they did looking forward to what he was going to do. We look back at what he has done. It's the same amount of faith. It's the same amount of grace. It took just as much faith on that side to believe Jesus was going to do it as it does on this side to believe that Jesus did do it. And so it's changed, but on this side, when Jesus was telling this account, Jesus had not gone to the cross yet. That's why when he was on the cross and that man said, that one of those thieves said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy what? Kingdom. kingdom. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." The kingdom, all right? That's where the kingdom people were awaiting. Listen to me. And so what does the scripture say? Well, where are the dead? Well, it depends on how you die. According to this verse of scripture, if you'll look at it in verse number 22, one died and was carried into Abraham's bosom. Another died, and in hell he lift up his eyes. And the scripture says that generally this was the same area, because it was conversation. And at one point in this conversation, if you'll look with me in verse number 26, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed." You can't get out. The only way you're going to get out is when God lets you out. You say, "God's going to let him out?" We're going to see in just a moment. He sure is. And the Bible says here, "And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed." So that where you, listen, where you are, you can't come here, and where, those that are here can't go there. That's it. You say, "Well, boy, when I, if this whole thing that you're saying, if it's all so, when I die and get to that place, then I'll make my decision then." Too late. Too late. And I want you to hear me. Too late. You say, "You mean that there's no like second chance?" Well, there's plenty of chances on this side of death, but on the other side, your destiny is sealed. There's a great gulf. Look at the next word here. Fixed. It's over, brother. Listen, this is serious business, because life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. At most, we're promised 70 years. Some folks, they're beyond that, but that's only by the good grace of God. So listen, don't take for granted God's time and space for repentance. So why do we die? Sin. What happens when we die? Our spirit and our body separate. That's death. What happens? Well, our body goes to the grave. Our spirit, our soul, goes into the afterlife. Before Calvary, this is right here talking about what happened. Abraham's bosom, which I personally believe, when you look up the word bosom there, it almost has Eden, paradise. You know how many times paradise is used in the New Testament? Does anyone know? Three. It's interesting. One time I mentioned Luke 23. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Paul said, and we're going to turn to this if time permits tonight, in 2 Corinthians, he said, there was a time, you know, I knew a man, you know, above 14 years ago, whether in the body or not, I can't tell. He said, this man was called, now listen to me, called up into the third heaven, into the paradise of God. That's the second time. Same word. Exact same word. I looked it up in the Concordance. Exact same word. Not only in the English, but in the Greek. And then the third time is in Revelation chapter number 2. It talks about the paradise of God where the tree of life is. Where is the tree of life? Revelation 22 says it's in heaven. So paradise got moved. All right? So you following me so far? I hope that you are. So why do we die? Well, because we sin. You say, well, I don't want to die. Too late. You done sinned. I'm not making light of it. It's just the way it is. So now you can't prevent it. You're here. You've sinned. You're going to die. You can't prevent death now, but you can do this. You can prepare for it. You can't prevent it, but thank God you can prepare for it. So listen carefully. Number two, what happens when we die? Well, our spirit leaves our body. Our body goes to the grave. Our spirit goes into the afterlife. Depending on, you know, how you've lived will determine where your spirit, your soul goes. Then number three, where are the dead? Well, at this juncture right here, at this time, before Calvary, there was this place where the disembodied spirits went, one into Abraham's bosom, one into a place called hell. Now, here's a question. What's happening? What's taking place with these disembodied spirits? Well, I tell you, this is where it gets interesting. This is where it picks up. You know, I don't understand all there is to understand about this. I just know that God knows what he's doing and I don't. And so I'm going to trust him. Now, when I think of a spirit, it's hard for me to think of something with a tongue and something with eyes. And yet, the scripture says here in Luke 19, when this man died and was buried in hell, and in verse 23, he lifted up what? His eyes. And he spoke. And he mentions his tongue. And he mentions Lazarus' finger. There's a lot of things that happen. This is in the afterlife. And I want you to get this, okay? This is in the afterlife. And here's some things that are obvious from this. And I wrote these things down. Number one, recollection. People say, well, you know, when we get into afterlife, we really know what's going on, or we just kind of be floating around playing a harp on a big old giant cloud. That's it. You've been watching too much Disney. That's not at all what's happening. Notice what the scripture says here. Look, if you would, in verse number 25. But Abraham said, son, remember. Remember what? Look what he said. Remember that thou, look at that next three words, in thy lifetime. Remember some things about your life on earth. You mean people in the afterlife can remember some things on earth? Well, Abraham told him to. Is that right, folks? Do you think people in the afterlife can know some things that are happening on the earth today? I don't know. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Jesus said that Abraham told this man, I want you to remember some things, but he asked him to remember because of what was going on right then. Look at it. He said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now thou he is comforted and thou art tormented. In other words, he said the reason, he's asking him to reason some things based on what was in this life. So I think it's very important to understand what's being said here. Do you think people in the afterlife can have a recollection of things that happen in this life? We're told right here to do it. Is that right? So, will we remember things about this life? Verse 25 says, remember thy lifetime. Look down, if you would, in verse number 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, because I can remember some things in the sojourn in the former life, then I'm going to pray and ask you, would you please send Lazarus to my... Whose house? Will we remember relationships in the afterlife? Oh, no, I know what Jesus said. He said that in the afterlife, they'll neither be married nor given in marriage. Well, I'm just telling you what Jesus said right here. He said this. And by the way, I've got an answer for that too, but I want to stick right here for right now. He said, I want you to send it to my Father's house. That's a relationship. And he's in the afterlife. But that's not all he said. Look, if you would, in verse 28. For I have how many brethren? Five what? Brethren. That's a relationship. That's a kinship. Where is this man at? He's in the afterlife, brethren. Please don't miss this. He's in the afterlife. You mean that we'll know each other in heaven? Man, who wants to go to a place where you don't know anyone? Come on. That's one of the most uncomfortable feelings in all the world. To walk into a place where there's multitudes of people and you don't know anyone except one, Jesus. You know what's amazing to me about this? I think we'll know people in a greater way in the afterlife than when you were in this life. You know why? Because Abraham, Moses, the prophets, these men were not living in their day, but yet this man speaks of them like he lived next door to them. Is that right? Yeah. And so there's something going on. I can't explain it all. I'm just telling you what. I believe every word of the Bible. I mean every word of it. And just because I don't fully understand it all doesn't mean that I'm going to try to just sweep it under the rug or just pretend it didn't happen. And so the first question, will we have some type of recollection of things that happen in our life here on earth? I believe from these scriptures it's teaching that we can. Here's a question. Will we know each other? These people knew each other so well. This man knew these people so well, he called him by his name. Seeing who? To my father's house? Lazarus. This man laid outside his gate. I don't know how long he laid outside his gate waiting to be fed, but he laid outside his gate. He called him by name in the afterlife. He could have said, send one of the prophets. He could have said, send that guy. I don't know his name, but just send that guy. He looks like a good fella. Send him. But he said, Lazarus. But now we've got to kind of depart these two territories here. If you'll remember in verse number 26, we said that there was a great gulf fixed between these two compartments. All right? One was for the wicked dead and one was for the righteous dead. And there was a great gulf in between them. What goes on in these two compartments? I'm just going to take this alone. Just this alone. And we're going to discuss it. What goes on when you die? Well, if you go into Abraham's bosom, notice what he said in verse number 25. The last part of verse 25 says, but now he is, what's that next word? Comforted. That's a good place to be. That's a good place to be. You know, Abraham was a true man of God. He was a patriarch. That's good company to be in. Amen. You know what the Bible says when the saints of God in the Old Testament, when they passed, it said they were gathered into their fathers. It's good company to be in. See, one of them is a place of great company, of great bliss, of great peace, of great comfort. But now the other's not so well. The other starts in verse number 23. He says, I'm in torment, and he's crying for mercy. So these two compartments, though there was a gulf between them at that time, they're just totally opposite in desirability to be there. He said in verse, he summed it up really in verse number 25. He said, but now he is comforted and thou art what? Tormented. If that's all I knew about the afterlife, I'll choose side A. Give me the comfort side. Amen? But we know much more about it. For sake of time, I want you to know that something has happened. Both of these places are going to be emptied out. All right? Let's look at it. What does Scripture say? Where is this place? Where is this place? Well, I personally believe, and I want you to go back. I believe that something happened. Go back to the book of Numbers. I think it's very interesting. Remember our word, Sheol? Go to Numbers chapter 16, and I'm going to hasten because I've got to, I don't want to be too long because then the length of the message will mean more to you than the content of it, and I don't want that to happen. Here in Numbers 16, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture where Korah and his sons and those that rebelled against God's man, Moses, the leadership, and God opened up the earth. And God just, listen, they just fell into the earth alive, into the pit. And I want you to notice something about this. I'm in Numbers 16. We'll begin our reading in verse number 31. It came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all of these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the, now I want you to look at this next word, pit. And when you get home tonight, I want you to look that word up in your concordance and you'll find that it is the exact same word, Sheol. That's your word, which is the Hebrew word of the Greek equivalent, Hades, or the place that man was in when he was being tormented in the flame in Luke 16. It's the exact same place. And so the Scripture says that the earth opened up and they went down into this pit, verse number 33, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all of Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. So here's a place in history where the earth opens up and it takes these people in. And it's called what? The pit. The pit. Now, there is an equivalent to that in the book of the Revelation, the bottomless pit. Okay, it's the same word. Look it up. It's the same word. It's just you have the Hebrew in the Old Testament and the Greek in the New. So where is this place? Well, I believe it's in the heart of the earth, because I believe that's where these people went. Now, I'm just going to, I have to give you a few more scriptures and I'm going to close tonight. So turn, if you would, to Psalm 16. When Jesus died on the cross, and I said I was going to go to Hebrews 10, but time won't allow me to tonight. I want you to know this. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the final payment and the full payment of sin. You do understand that. I hope that you do. I hope that you realize that the people in the Old Testament, okay, they were in a place pending the blood of Jesus. They could not go into the presence of God. Where do we go now? If I die today, I know where I'm going. To be absent from the body, what's it say? Present with the Lord. I'm going to the third heaven. Read 2 Corinthians. Read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul said he was caught up into paradise. Caught up into paradise. Something happened. Notice here in Psalm 16 what David says here. In a prophecy, this is a messianic prophecy of the Lord Jesus, but he's speaking of himself and the Lord. Notice what it says. Psalm 16, look if you would in verse number 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in where? David? David's writing this? A man after God's own heart is going to hell? That's a word. That's the holding place. You understand this, right? He said, you're not going to leave me there. That's a very important word. You're not going to leave me there. Didn't say you're not going to send me there. You're not going to leave me there. Because before Calvary, all the Old Testament saints went to this place. Sheol. Don't think of the torment side. Think of the comfort side. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine. Now look at this. Holy one, to see corruption. What is being taught here? Well, I'm glad that God always clears his word up. Turn to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter number 2, Peter, when he was preaching on the day of Pentecost, said, you know what? He said, I want to clear something up for you, fellas. He said, the person that you crucified is the Lord of glory. And he said in Acts chapter 2, look if you went in verse number 30. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 30. Just in the event that someone got mixed up about who was being referred to here, Peter said this. He said, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath, and he's talking about the patriarch David. You can see that in verse number 29. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Is that a quotation from Psalm 16? Yes. What's being taught here? It's being taught that now things have changed. Now he's resurrected. And when Jesus resurrected, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, you'll find where he led captivity captive. He ascended, but before he ascended, Ephesians chapter 4, turn there if you would, he first descended. You in Ephesians 4? We're going to bring it to a close right here. What I'm saying to you is when people die, they go to a place. Before Jesus died on the cross, those that were righteous went to a place, but then when Jesus died and he placed the blood on the mercy seat, which was the full and final payment for the penalty of sin, and now men can be in the presence of a holy God because their sins were taken away and not just covered. Notice what the scripture says in Ephesians 4. Look at verse, if you would, in verse number 6. Ephesians 4, verse number 6. Well, let's go down to verse number 8, just for sake of time. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, this is talking about Jesus. He ascended on high, but now watch verse number 9. Now, he that ascended, he that went up, did Jesus ascend after his resurrection? Yes. Look what it says now. He that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first? Where did he descend to? The lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. So, before Jesus ascended, he went and he led captivity. That's what the scripture says if you'll read in verse number 8. He led captivity captive. He let them out. All right? Because the blood had been applied. We take sin so lightly. We think God is okay with sin and that he'll just excuse it or look over it. I'm telling you, brethren, God can't look on sin. And it wasn't until the blood. I pray that you'll go home and read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. It clearly says that those sacrificial animals didn't do it. Now, God pardoned on the basis of that because they were doing it by faith, believing that that represented the blood of Jesus. But it was not until that Jesus placed his own blood that man could gain access into the presence of God through our high priest, Jesus Christ. That's the only way. I said that was going to be the last one, but I will close with this. In Revelation 20, so you say, preacher, that's we that are saved. What about those that are lost? Did you know that hell and is not the final abode for the lost man? You do know that, right? Hell is not the final abode for the lost man. Revelation 20, look if you would in verse number 11. John said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Now, these are the dead without Christ. We're talking about death tonight. I saw the dead, small and great. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're a millionaire or a pauper on the street. It doesn't matter if you're a somebody or a nobody in man's eyes. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. This is the grave. And death, that's the grave. And hell. What? Death and what? Hell, the sea, gave up the dead bodies. Death, the grave, gave up the dead bodies. Hell gave up the disembodied spirits of those that were wicked. And they were delivered. They delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell, now here it is. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay? This is it right here. It's over. This is the final abode. I hope that helped you some. You say, it helped my head to spin. Well, I hope I didn't go that fast. And I hope you wrote down some scripture. I hope that you're interested in what happens to people when they die. You say, well, it doesn't matter to me, preacher. It needs to start mattering. It needs to start mattering. Brethren, we've gotten to a day to where God's people have become just lazy and flippant about eternal things. And we don't need to be lazy and flippant about eternal things. We need to be able to have conversations with people so that when they come and say, you know what, you people, you don't know what you believe. I know what I believe. I believe this book. And everything that's in this book is going to happen. It either has happened, it is happening, or it's going to happen. My time has been up, but I appreciate your patience and your attention. If you would, please stand to your feet. Now, there's a whole lot more, but that's for another time. Can I ask you a question as you bow your head with me? I'm not going to ask you, are you going to die? You are going to die. What I'm going to ask you is, where are you going to go when you die? And are you 100% sure now? This is not something you want to take a chance on. This is not something you want to say, well, you know, I hope so. No, no. You hope you pick the right coat out or the right color of house furnishings. You don't take a chance on your eternity. You can know for sure where you're going when you leave this world. And so I want to ask you, where are you going? Where are you going when you leave this world? You going to heaven or are you going to hell?